Sunday. You're listening to Fits Be Tied with Sheena and Whitney. And actually, it's just Whitney today because Sheena is out. It is Halloween. She's had some things come up. So actually, it's just me, but I'm not by myself because usually when I'm by myself, I know you guys want to turn the radio off. So I brought I brought Charles with me. So Charles, how's it going?
Oh, it's great. I'm happy to be back. It's been a little while.
I think the last time you were on the show with us, or actually with me, was that when we were filming Zoom, like through Zoom?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Okay, yeah, and so recording through Zoom was kind of awkward because it was like we could never find our rhythm, and I think we kind of got it towards the end, but it was just kind of strange. So I'm glad that we're back in person. We're still in face mask, and so we might sound a little muffled on the microphone, but at least we're being safe and, you know, doing what we're supposed to be doing. But Charles, how's life? How you been doing?
It's good. You know, we're just slowly getting back to normalcy, and I feel like this semester is really been it for us. I mean, it felt like a normal school year. You walk through the gym and it's packed with bodies and it feels like it used to. It's weird.
It really does. And, you know, for those of you that are listening to our show, you know, this show is all about being well, not just fitness and nutrition, but we talk about all aspects. I think sometimes I need to throw that out there just so that you guys have an idea of what the heck you're listening to. But, you know, Charles, you've been on the show. You're kind of our regular stand-in. You and Nika, and we have a few others that are on our show all the time. But, like, just kind of let our listeners know who you are, what you do on campus.
Sure. So I'm the fitness services coordinator, at least one of them. And I oversee the personal training programs that we have going on here on campus. So primarily that is at the Student Recreation Center and also at the Robert E. Witt Center. But that's my main focus is managing that program, making sure that we are getting the good word out there about our personal training programs, making sure our clients are getting taken care of, and just making sure that program runs smoothly. So that's really my main focus. And right now things are going smoothly, so it's going well.
Yeah, it has been going well. And, you know, Charles is also one of our experts that we bring on the radio just for fitness and wellness. And also you do webinars for wellness and work-life balance. So you definitely get to speak a lot to different topics that are, you know, kind of hot topics and trends, which I do want to kind of take a side note here. We do have to acknowledge it is Halloween today.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It is Halloween. And so, I mean, this show to me is going to be super fun because we're going to talk about some scary things in the fitness world. But I'm just curious, Charles, for Halloween, I'm going to ask you a few questions. And if we don't get to it now, we'll finish up at the end of the show. We'll keep you guys on the edge of your seat. But okay. So first question is, do you like Halloween? Is it something you're into?
Yes. Okay. Yes, actually it is. It's exactly a week after my birthday.
That's right.
So I've always been, I guess, emotionally connected to Halloween.
Gotcha.
I just love it. And
yeah.
It's fall. I love fall. So it's all the right things put together that makes me enjoy the holiday.
So for Halloween, do you have a favorite movie that you have to watch every year up until, like, you know how, like, Freeform does the 31 day or 30 days? I don't even know how many days are in October. Oh, 31 because it's 31st days of Halloween. Do you have a favorite movie?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't think so. I would say, like, through high school and college, I really loved zombie movies in particular.
Oh, yeah.
So if I'm going to sit down and watch, like, a Halloween-themed movie, it's actually going to be more, like, zombie apocalypse type stuff. But I wouldn't say there's, like, one specific movie.
Mm. Are you, like, a Walking Dead fan? Do you like that show?
You know, I'm not a big fan, actually.
Interesting.
I watched it when it first started coming on. That was actually, like, my freshman year in college.
Wow.
So that was at least 10, 12 years ago.
And it's still on, I think.
Yeah, I think
wow.
so.
Wow.
Yeah, but I just kind of lost interest myself.
You know, when it comes to movies, I mean, I don't really do scary movies. It's not my thing. I mean, I've seen all the classics, whatever, but I don't have any kind of need or want to, like, sit down and watch them again. But I don't know if you guys remember Halloween Town. Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
It came on the Disney Channel, and it was like Marnie was her name, the little girl, and she was a witch, and, like, she knew she had powers. I don't know why, but when I was a kid, I don't even know how old I would have been. I guess, like, elementary or middle school, maybe? I don't know. I just remember that movie, and it was just, it's kind of not that great of a movie, but it just has that nostalgia. Did you ever watch that movie?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Oh, I loved it. But anyway, so that would probably be one of my favorites. And of course, Hocus Pocus. I love that movie. It's just a classic.
Of course.
And it's fun. So another question I have for you before we go to a break. Do you have a favorite Halloween candy?
I would say anything Reese's.
Really?
And actually now lately, so this has been a more recent development, but the peanut butter M&Ms are out of this world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. So yeah, I mean, they're better than the regular peanut M&Ms. Like, they've got that, like, soft center and everything. I would say, we were kind of talking about this before, you know, we started the show. I couldn't remember the name of the candy, and I had to Google it, of course, because the internet knows literally everything. You don't even need anybody anymore. But Sixlets, they're the little chocolate candies that come in that little package, like in a cylinder type package, and used to get them like trick or treating. I don't know why, but they're like M&Ms, but they have sweeter, like a sweeter component. Anyway, that's probably my favorite.
That
candy.
Just reminded me of like a childhood memory, and my mom would give me those as like a reward for like good behavior. Whatever it was usually those. It was like a sleeve, right?
I love them.
I do remember those.
It was like brown, yellow, maybe red. It was like the most terrible colors.
Strange colors.
But they're so good because they were like extra high fructose corn syrup, you know, so it was delicious. But anyway, this is our Halloween show for Fit to be Tied. So we are going to take a quick break and we're going to jump right into it. So as Sheena always says, grab a drink, go to the bathroom, grab your Halloween candy, give some to trick-or-treaters, and we'll catch you on the other side.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Happy Halloween. You're listening to Fit to be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone. And for those of you just joining us, we have Charles on our show, who is my coworker over at the Student Recreation Center. And we were talking about Halloween, obviously, because today is the day, and our favorite movies and what we like to watch and candy. And during the break, we had to Google Sixlets, the little candy that I was talking about that I love, which is underrated, I think. It's got so much sugar and it's so sweet. Those little chocolatey, I guess little, like, they're not like M&M size. They're even smaller. I love them.
Yeah, and like, you know, you say we should go get some, but part of me is scared to do that because of the nostalgia attached to it.
Oh, yeah.
And I almost don't want to ruin it.
Yeah.
I could have one and it turns out it's terrible, but what I remember is that it was just the most amazing heavenly little balls of chocolate.
Man, they were. And so much sweeter than M&M's. And of course, M&M's kind of upped their game because you were talking about how, like, you love the peanut butter M&M's. They have the caramel M&M's. I mean, I know we're a wellness show. We should probably be talking about fruits and vegetables, but it's kind of nice to have those splurge moments, like special holidays and things like that, because they make you feel good. You know, they release endorphins. I mean, definitely moderation, and, you know, it's something we need to be careful of, but I don't know. I love eating candy. It's great.
Yeah, sometimes you got to treat yourself.
You really do. So, okay, so today's Halloween, and, you know, we were kind of thinking about the show and what we want to talk about, and as fitness professionals, and if Sheena were here as a dietitian, registered dietitian, there's a lot of scary things out there. There's a lot of scary resources that might not be legit. There's a lot of scary exercises. So, like, today we're just going to take some time to bust a few myths and just have an open conversation about all the scary things that we see in the gym and the weight room.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's
I'm excited.
Do it. So when I was looking up some stuff to talk about, like, to kind of prompt it, and I literally Googled scariest fitness trends, and a lot of sites actually popped up, and I was like, oh, so I'm not the only one that thinks a lot of this stuff that we're doing is pretty scary. So I'm just going to kind of go down my list. Okay, the first thing I had listed was pairing exercise with alcohol, like booze. And I know some of you are like, wait, what? Okay, well, let me write this down. There's a lot of people out there that want to capitalize and make money, and that's just, I mean, it's America, right? So that's you know, what we do. But one thing I've noticed is we start to pair certain types of classes with alcohol.
Yes.
And like specifically yoga.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't, have you seen that as well?
Oh yeah, all the time. I think it's this idea that we want to make exercise more fun.
Right.
And what's more fun than booze, right?
Right. It's very fun, yeah. But I mean, it is kind of weird that like you feel like you have to reward yourself for doing a yoga class. So as a yoga instructor, I mean, I partake in alcohol, but I don't put it as part of my practice. And what's funny is I've actually had people say after a yoga practice when they do their final relaxation how chill they are. They're like, ooh, if I had a glass of wine, this would be awesome. So, I mean, I think drinking a glass of wine or having a beverage, you know, after your yoga practice, that might be okay. But I've noticed that some of these trends will incorporate wine and alcohol into the practice. And I just can't see that that's safe.
No. Yeah. There's actually, I'm calling Austin, Texas out. But there's an event down there called the 1 mile beer run. And
oh, wow.
Every quarter of a mile, you have to stop and drink an entire beer before continuing the run. So by the time you finish the run, you've had 4 beers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's,
it's kind of funny. I mean, let's be real. Like, it's funny to probably watch, but at the same time, that's not healthy at all. Because we know alcohol dehydrates you, you know?
Yeah, that's a big part. And also, there's a cognitive delay that comes with alcohol.
Mm.
And not just a delay, but like a numbing of your senses,
mm-hmm.
Which can be dangerous. If you're not getting that feedback that you need from your body to your brain while mm-hmm. you're running, pushing yourself, alcohol might dull the pain, but mm-hmm. it's not necessarily a good thing. We need those feedback loops to protect ourselves.
That's exactly right. And it brings me back to, I guess it was the beginning of semester when Wellness and Work-Life Balance was doing the tent for the Strive for 5 kickoff, and we were there, and UAPD brought their goggles that simulate like levels of being intoxicated. And when I put them on, I was like, oh, wow. I mean, I guess this is the same. It's kind of hard to compare, but you can imagine, I mean, you can't walk a straight line, you know, and it can be very dangerous. You could roll an ankle, you could hurt yourself. It's just not smart. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, you know, exercise in itself is kind of risky, right? We're stressing our body, so we need to be mentally there to do it. Otherwise, it could be pretty dangerous.
I think it's crazy. So if you're interested in doing those things, my advice is do something that involves alcohol after you do the workout, not during.
Absolutely.
Okay, so moving on. So one thing, we know that social media is, you know, super huge these days. Charles and I were talking about TikTok earlier and Instagram and all that kind of stuff. One thing that's scary to me is when people try to copy celebrity workouts. Because let's face it, we see celebrities like The Rock and Jennifer Lopez, and we're like, wow, we want to look like them. And so people see their workouts on Instagram, and I love The Rock. I think he's awesome. And I love to see, you know, his workouts that he does. But you can't expect somebody that's new to exercise to be able to copy that workout.
Yeah, I think that's the scary part about it. It's not necessarily that what they're doing is wrong or it's incorrect, but a lot of times it sets unrealistic expectations of what we're able to do. I actually remember my second year in college when I was still figuring fitness out and trying to do something. I found this program that was the Brad Pitt Fight Club workout. And it included the workout and the diet plan that we followed. And I remember, I did it. And I got so frustrated after like 6 weeks of it, because the program said 6 weeks and you're going to have these abs. But what I didn't realize is that Brad Pitt was already in shape when he started this program.
Mm-hmm.
So it just created a very unrealistic expectation. Mm-hmm. And for me, it made it harder to find what works, because in my head I was like, well, if this doesn't work, what will?
Right. Definitely unrealistic, because, I mean, when you look at somebody like The Rock, I mean, he's been training his whole life, you know, I mean, to look like this, to be like this, the diet plans that he follows, it's very strategic, and it's not going to work for everybody, you know, and so I think that's something to consider. I mean, it's cool to look at those people online and be like, oh, that's inspirational, and that's awesome, but, you know, we got to set some realistic expectations, and that's kind of where, you know, as fitness professionals, we kind of freak out when our clients are like, yeah, I've been doing this workout, kind of like the Brad Pitt workout. It's just not realistic.
Yeah, it's not, and a lot of times we don't know what their motives are for posting these things. Sometimes it really is just sharing their workout programs, but sometimes they're getting paid to do that, and we don't necessarily know that what they're being paid to promote is working or is worthwhile. Sometimes it's just them making money.
That's very true. And so that kind of leads me into the next thing, doing one-size-fits-all workouts. That was on the list. You know, it kind of goes into the whole celebrity workout. Charles, what do you think? Does one workout fit everybody?
No, they don't. You know, there are definitely movements and principles that can be one size fits all. Mm-hmm. But when we start talking about specific exercises, specific programming, I would say no, definitely not.
Mm-hmm.
And that could really be detrimental if we try to think that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what's cool about what we do is, you know, Charles and your personal training program and your trainers. I mean, we get paperwork on somebody, we talk to them, we fitness test them, we get a baseline, and then we work with them individually. Same thing with me when I'm working with clients on the reformer. I mean, you have exercises that everybody is going to do, but it the structure and the formatting is going to look very different. So it's, you know, need to be reminded of that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so here's another one. This was crazy. And so this kind of goes more into my world, I guess, of like cardio classes and things like that. But taking a heated cardio class. So that means, or any type of class, really, because, you know, we have Bikram yoga, which is hot yoga. So this is when they like bump up the heat in the room and you're working out. So what do you think about that?
Oh, this is a tough one. You know, I wish I fully understood. So I understand the basic concept in that people believe that if you work out in a hot room or, you know, a sauna suit, whatever it is, that's going to result in sweating more with the idea that, oh, it gets rid of toxins, which there's definitely some truth to that.
Sure, yeah.
And the idea that you're burning more calories. I think that's the basic idea there, but I'm not necessarily sure it's that beneficial.
Yeah, and when I was thinking about this, I was like, well, you know, when, like, what does your body do when there's heat and you're exercising? Well, you sweat, and that's your body's natural way of cooling itself down. So you're losing, you know, a lot of water, and so you got to replenish that. And so, yes, you may weigh yourself before class, and then you may see a difference on the scale, but is it really doing any good? I mean, if you're training for something specific, I know, you know, let's say you had to go run a race in super hot temperatures, then maybe training your body to work in that type of temperature and environment. But I feel like most of these heated and cardio classes and things, I do like exercising in warmer climate for me because I'm very cold all the time, but I wouldn't recommend it for just anybody.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's the biggest thing here is that it's not necessarily some sort of save-all method that's going to work. Yeah, you might sweat a little bit more, but honestly, like you said, sweating is just what your body does to cool down. So, you know, forcing ourselves to be in a heated environment, it's going to make us sweat more. But is that really going to do all that much?
Yeah.
If we're exercising like we're supposed to, we're going to be sweating.
That's right.
That's a normal part of exercise. So I just don't necessarily a direct benefit of being in the heat, except for, like you said, for a specific goal.
I agree. Well, I think, you know, this is a good place for a break just because, you know, I might go get some Sixlets or something since we've been talking about Halloween and scary things. So we are going to take a break. So catch us on the other side. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone, and it's Halloween, and it's the scary edition, so boo. I'm just kidding. we are talking about scary things in the fitness world, and, you know, Charles and I, we work with clients. We've been doing it for a while, and, you know, just in our own research, we'll see things that kind of make us a little nervous for what, you know, people are doing out there and what they see, and it's really hard to, like, vet through some of the information, and I don't know, Charles, how do you feel when you're, like, looking through Instagram or a client talks to you about stuff? I mean, my mind goes crazy. Like, don't look at it. You know, follow the right sources. I mean, what do you think about all this?
I'm ashamed to say there are times where, like, you know, I'll walk by the weight room or scroll through Instagram and just like, I'm not touching that. That's going to be something I got to do a different day because it's going to take way too much work to try to fix what's going on here.
Exactly. And kind of speaking to the weight room, you know, everybody's coming back to the rec center. It's been great. Things feel very normal. We've got a good routine going. And I'm starting to notice, you know, there's a lot of students in the weight room, and I sometimes see some exercises where I'm like, oof.
We're talking about something scary. I see some scary things in that weight room sometimes.
Okay, just a segue, just completely not related to my list right here. What's the scariest thing you've seen in the weight room? I'm curious. It would take a second to think through. I mean, because I see just in general, like for me, when I see somebody lifting heavier than they really should be without proper alignment and form, and I feel like their body's gonna snap in half, like literally, that to me, like I almost have to just walk by and not look at it because you know, I mean, you never know whether to approach somebody, how they're gonna take it, you know, if they're gonna get offended. It's kind of hard.
Yeah, I would say anything that involves being bent over with heavy weight, that scares me because if you don't have good form there, then it's very easy to hurt yourself. If we're talking about like a bent over back row or a deadlift, with. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of exercises that involve heavy weight mm-hmm. and a lot of stress on the back. And mm-hmm. if you don't know what you're doing, you will pull something and it will not be fun.
Or it could be even worse. You could slip a disc. I mean, you just really never know. So, you know, be mindful. Just if you're listening to our show and you're trying to start working out, I mean, don't always do what Instagram tells you. Like, find some sources or come to us and we'll be happy to help you out. So, yeah, weight room can be scary. But then there's also a lot of people that do the correct form.
Sure.
And I also see people helping each other, which is nice. Like spotting each other, helping each other, giving advice. So I always, you know, that's good. You guys keep it up. All right. So speaking of exercises and just kind of moving into kind of some scary things, I don't necessarily think this next one is scary. I've actually done this before, but I would highly recommend prepping before you do this. And it's acro yoga or acro yoga, where you've got, like, you know, the stuff hanging from the ceiling and you're doing different types of poses and stuff. I will say from my experience, I took one class, okay? It was not what I expected. I figured, you know, me being a yoga instructor, I feel like I'm pretty strong. I was like, you know, I could probably manage this okay. The amount of cueing and being safe, it's not like your typical yoga class. I mean, it's a slower pace. You don't, in my opinion, you don't really get the workout that you think you're going to get because of the amount of setup that you do. And so that's just been my experience. Have you dabbled in acro yoga, Charles?
I got to say, that's outside my forte, but I have seen it before. Mm-hmm. Usually when I see it, I think of like Circus Olay or something with the spinning and twirling in the mm-hmm. air, and that's what I picture. Mm-hmm. So I assume it's something like that, but I'll be honest, that's a little bit outside my realm.
Yeah, and it comes back to social media and the look at me. It's like, if you can get in a really cool pose and post on social media, they're going to think you do that. Well, that's just one pose. And honestly, the coolest pose I ever did was this cool hanging upside down, but I was literally, I think, a foot off the ground because they won't let you go up really high. So, but anyway, you know, being mindful, sometimes these fad classes, they're fun and they get people in the doors, but it's not sustainable because it's just, you know, it's just not realistic sometimes. So I was curious to see if you'd, you know, dabbled in that.
I think my thoughts with that is, like, if you're going to do it, make sure you find someone who has a lot of experience and knowledge with it. Mm-hmm. Don't just buy like an at-home, you know, rope kit or whatever you use and just start hanging and twirling in the air, because that could definitely not just hurt yourself, but maybe your ceiling again. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, don't go to Home Depot and buy like bungee cord and start doing these things. It's not worth it for the perfect picture on Instagram. Okay, this is another one. This is so interesting to me, and I'm curious your thoughts. What do you think about the ab belts, like the vibrating ab belts? I don't even know if people still buy them. I know that, like, if you look at videos and stuff back in the day, I'm talking like before we had a lot of weight equipment, the calisthenic like workouts and stuff, you'd see the guy like being shook around or whatever. But what do you think about the ab belts?
Yeah, so I think one of the scariest things about some of these trends that we're going to talk about is that a lot of them are like, there's a little bit of kernel of truth mm-hmm. or science that they're mm-hmm. loosely based on, and then just gets run away with.
Right.
And so I think the basic idea with these belts is that it's supposed to like challenge your abdominals by like forcing you to move and shake and mm-hmm. like flex those muscles.
Embrace, yeah.
In a basic level, it sounds like a good idea, mm-hmm. but in practice, it's not practical. Mm-hmm. Especially that you're paying money for something with this when you could just like hop on a ball or something and force yourself to do the same thing.
Yeah, and it's probably more expensive to buy that, whereas you could do core work for free at home, being taught the proper way, you know, doing planks or modified planks or doing the right crunch and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. There's some science probably behind it, and somebody had this brilliant idea and they're probably making lots of money off of it. Good for them for, you know, making money, but, you know, I just wouldn't waste my money on it.
No, exactly. It's not worth the money, and it's really not worth what they're trying to advertise, which mm-hmm. is that it's going to give you a six-pack or it's going to give you toned abs. But mm-hmm. the truth of the matter is that, you know, putting a belt on and shaking your abs seriously is not going to do anything for giving you a six-pack. A lot of that's going to come down to nutrition.
Yeah.
And then when we are talking about training, there's a lot more practical things that you can do mm-hmm. that's going to give you more bang for your buck than a shaking belt.
Yeah. And so that brings me to the shake weight, which this is hilarious. I'm totally going to out my brother. He was cleaning out, we were cleaning out some stuff and he was moving or whatever, and he had a shake weight. And I he works out, like he's pretty knowledgeable. And I looked at him, I was like, really? And he was like, it actually works. I was like, what are you talking about? Now, I will say I did try it. It was weird. And I felt strength in my bicep because you're holding an isometric contraction, right? Mm-hmm. In your shoulders. But, like, it was just so weird and awkward. And I was like, I would never, ever want to hold this or do this. It was just so strange.
It's very niche, right? Like,
yeah.
It's the idea is, like, it's challenging, like, your stabilizer, or I guess most of your muscles to, like, maintain an isometric
like the belt, the ab belt.
Yeah, exactly. Very similar to the ab belt. It's incredibly niche, so I just... It confuses me just looking at it. Like, I'm so confused by it.
It's so weird.
It's like buying a machine to, like, work on your pinky finger. Like, it's just
exactly.
super specific and, like, really unnecessary.
Well, and, you know, when you think about fitness, like, for us, like, okay, in the fitness industry, people are always coming up with new gadgets. I mean, every year, come January, a new class. And like, some of that stuff is good because it's innovative and it's good to kind of change things up. But I'll be honest with you, those of you listening to us, you're going to move the body the same way it's been moving since it's been around thousands, millions of years, whatever. Because, like, literally, we can invent new things to do, but training is always going to be very... consistent. Yeah. You know what
it
I mean?
It is. It's going to be consistent. And there's this idea, this principle of training called specificity. Mm-hmm. And that, like, whatever way that you train your body, you're going to train it specifically. So, like, if you're training with a shake weight, you're training your body to specifically deal with the weird shaking resistance. That's not practical for real life. It's not going to get you great results. It's just a very niche thing. And that's what most of these trends are, is they're very niche because, like you said, the body moves how it moves.
Yeah.
And we know that. And so any new concept or idea, for the most part, is going to be very, very targeted and specific and niche.
Yeah. And that brings me to another one before we, you know, take a break, is extreme cardio. Mm. So, like, I know just from when I worked with clients, people go all in. It's like the harder, the faster. It makes me honestly really, really tired to think about it. And I mean, I did that kind of stuff when I was younger. It was like the higher you can jump, and it's good to train for those things. But what's your thought on these extreme cardio trends?
Does it happen to give like a specific kind or anything, or is it just more general, hey, cardio every day, all day?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Like people seem to always associate, which can be true, you know, weight loss, fat loss with cardio. And I think that that's something, you know, you need to know is that, yes, you do have to do cardio and that helps to, you know, lose weight. But I think people push and push and push themselves.
Yeah. That's what scares me the most is not necessarily doing cardio or even doing a large amount, because we can do a lot safely. Mm-hmm. But what's scary is what is our intention for that cardio? Because if our intention is just to lose weight or burn calories, that can be kind of dangerous because we're not treating our body very well. And if, you know, say we're not getting the results we want, so we think the solution is to run for 4 hours straight instead of running for an hour and a half.
Right.
That's when it becomes dangerous because we're pushing our body too hard. Maybe we're not getting enough nutrition to fuel our body. And that definitely can be dangerous.
Yeah, I think so too. And that goes hand in hand with everything we talk about, is like knowing yourself, everything, you know, everybody's different. So really, really, really good stuff. All right, guys, we're going to take another break. So this is Halloween. This is the Halloween edition of Fit to Be Tied. So you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone, and we'll catch you on the other side.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back, guys, to your Halloween edition of Fit to Be Tied. And today, I've got Charles with me. We've been talking about just scary things. Scary things. Not about, like, ghosts and goblins, but, like, the fitness trends that are out there that we scratch our heads, like, why? But, you know, it's America, right? So you got to make money. You got to capitalize. You got to do what you got to do. But we're going to switch gears a little bit. So Sheena is out today, which we miss her very deeply. We are going to touch a little on nutrition. Now, I just want to put a disclaimer out there. Charles and I, we are not registered dietitians. However, we do have some knowledge in nutrition and guiding our clients on healthy opportunities and options that are out there. And so I have a list of these different diets and fads and trends that I thought were like some I've heard of, but then others I'm like, I've never heard of this before. And we might get Sheena to jump in next week to kind of clarify some things on some specifics. But I will have to say, Charles, and I was looking this up, I never even heard of this first diet. And it's very, very appropriate for our show being on Halloween, but it's called the werewolf diet.
Oh.
And so one has to wonder, a werewolf diet, is it just, you know, meat that you're eating? Are you just being a carnivore? But let me just read you what it says, and let's make our, you know, assumptions of this. So the werewolf diet limits how you eat based on the cycles of the moon. So this is kind of trippy, okay? I mean, I don't know if this has any merit to it. I don't know. This could be something that's been around for a long time. I just felt like it was weird. So it's like, such as fasting with juice for 24 hours during a full moon, or not eating past 6 p.m. during other moon phases. This is surprising. This is going to surprise you guys, but this is not backed by research.
What? No way.
What? Yeah. So, I mean, really? The werewolf diet? Do you turn into a werewolf? Is that the point?
It sounds to me like it's just like a creative way to restrict calories. Like if someone's trying to lose weight,
right?
Like what better way to do than the cycles of the moon? Because that's consistent, right?
So yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. Is it's just a really kooky way of restricting calories.
I mean, I'm not a dietitian, and I'm going to ask Sheena about this. I mean, this might work for somebody. I don't know. It just seems like, from what I've learned from Sheena, anytime you are being restrictive in certain ways, whether it's food groups and you're not getting a balanced diet, and this right here was basically talking about fasting with juice for 24 hours. We'd have to get her take on that. But I always feel like you're eliminating food groups without talking to your dietitian, it could be problematic, you know?
Yeah, you know, my approach to nutrition is directly related to how it affects fitness, right? Mm-hmm. Since that's my area of expertise. And so for me, I'm always weary of any kind of diet that just gives you restrictions and doesn't give you guidelines on what to do right. And so that's what scares me with this is, all it's saying is like, oh, well, you need to time it with the cycle of the moon. But like, what am I supposed to eat? When am I supposed to eat it?
Yeah.
That's not very helpful to me. And I don't see it being all that beneficial.
And I mean, I don't know much about the moon and the phases, Charles, you might, but like, what if I live in one state and I fly to another state and it's, you know what I mean? Does that throw my diet off?
It might.
So yeah, just bizarre stuff, but kind of interesting. I mean, I love reading this kind of stuff because it makes you think about it and think logically. Okay, the next one. I've never heard of this. I don't know if you've heard of this, but it's the 5-bite diet. Okay, so I'm going to kind of, it's created by this California guy. He's an MD, all right? It's requires you to skip breakfast and then only eat 5 bites of your meal at lunch and dinner. So very small portions.
Mm.
This goes back to what we were saying about being restrictive.
Yes, it does. It's forcing a calorie restriction.
Right.
You know, I could come out tomorrow and be like, I've got the 6-bite diet.
Sure.
And it's my own patented thing, and it's going to cause you to lose weight because you know what? You're just not getting enough calories.
Yeah, you're not eating enough. And to me, if you're already skipping breakfast and then you have lunch and dinner and you're only taking 10 bites total of the day, oh, that's got to be way under your daily recommended calories.
Yeah, absolutely. And something like that is not sustainable.
Right.
And really, I just thinking exercise related, it's going to affect performance.
Yeah.
If you're only eating, you know, say 5 bites of something, you know, you might get 500 calories out of that. That's not going to sustain you for a workout. It's not going to sustain you for the day. You're going to be forced to go to those storages of fat and other tissues in your body.
Mm-hmm.
But I would think long term, that's going to be more detrimental to you. It's going to affect your metabolism, other things. That doesn't sound good.
It's not sustainable. And I mean, it kind of goes into like intermittent fasting. And I know there's a lot of talk about that. Like all these restrictive diets, it's kind of, to me, it puts a lot of pressure on you when you start to do an actual diet. In my opinion, I mean, your diet is what you eat every day. But like, you know, if you start getting too involved with, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, then you start to not have a very good relationship with food. And that's not good.
No, I see that time and time again with our clients. And something that produces that yo-yo effect is we follow these intense extreme diets because they promise fast results.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, one, not attainable. And they create that unhealthy relationship with food where we look at it as this all or nothing thing where it's almost like a bad guy. Like
right.
Food is the bad guy.
Right.
We've got to be careful with that bad guy. And that's not healthy.
And it kind of makes me think about, you know, there's literally people starving all over the world and who would give anything to have food. And here we are being so restrictive that we tend to have these weird thoughts about it. And I mean, it's just kind of crazy, the irony of it. But okay, here's another one. This is super weird. And since it's Halloween, I think we should talk about it because it involves sugar. This is the zero sugar diet, or just in general, zero sugar diet. So basically, okay, so celebrities, of course, you know, whatever, they're cutting out every last bit of sugar. Okay, so that doesn't just mean like I'm not going to eat my Reese's or my M&Ms. That is like looking at every ounce of sugar, not added sugar, but like, you know, fruits have sugar. You have starchy sugars in your like potatoes and stuff. And what's kind of sad about this is, yeah, it's good to keep some of those sugars in, you know, moderation, but you're then restricting yourself from fruits and vegetables that have natural sugars.
Yeah, yeah. Once again, I feel like this diet is just losing sight of what's important to our body, what our body needs. Our brain literally runs on sugar. Mm-hmm. If we're not getting right. some sort of sugar, we are trying to force our body to basically make it, and that's not a good thing to yeah. happen. I understand the idea, right, of trying to cut out a lot of the processed sugary foods we mm-hmm. eat, mm-hmm. but this is just, it's a little bit too extreme for me.
It is, it is. And I'll be honest, like at 3 o'clock when I kind of have that natural drop in my blood sugar, the moment I eat a little something, I feel great. I can finish out the day. And it doesn't have to be, I'm going to go into my Sheena examples, but it doesn't have to be like a candy bar. Like, pick those healthy alternatives, and we can ask Sheena, you know, what that looks like. Okay, so the next one. This is crazy, and I just had to do it because thinking of Halloween and like vampires, but it's the blood type diet. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
Okay, I haven't either. So this is a naturopathic physician who wrote Eat Right for Your Type, which is a foundation of the blood type diet. So basically, the premise is to follow a diet and lifestyle that best suits your blood type and improve your health and lose weight. Well, right there, when somebody says lose weight, that's a buzzword to me. Mm-hmm. So if that's in the title, you know, of course, changing your diet, you can lose weight, and you probably will. But it's basically, you know, you're looking at, you know, all four suggested ways of eating are based on real whole foods, which can prove beneficial for anyone who eats a diet high in processed food and sugar. So I feel like he's trying to restrict the processed foods and sugar, which is a good thing because that does have some negative benefits, but or negative things that happen. But I don't really know if it's legit. I've never heard anything, and we'd have to ask Sheena, but it just seems kind of like a red flag to me.
Yeah, I know there are some research that suggests that like different blood types are like more susceptible to different health issues.
Mm, okay.
So maybe that's loosely what yeah. it's based on, but it's kind of strange. I don't feel like there's going to be a lot of good research that suggests this does any kind of...
Yeah, I don't know.
...direct... I guess for me to get a better idea of it, I would want to see what kind of foods they're telling you to eat.
Right, right.
Right? Is this some sort of really wacky thing where like, oh, well, because you're type O, you can't have bananas. You
right.
need to have raspberries. Like, what is it actually saying? That's what gets me here.
Well, and going back to that, I mean, basically it's, you know, people, certain blood types, kind of like you said, have a higher risk of disease. Mm-hmm. And so maybe based on your blood type, you should be eating more fruits and vegetables and be more cognizant is kind of what it sounds like. So there might be some validation to it. As for like losing weight kind of thing, I don't talk to your dietitian, like yeah. get an appointment, do what you need to do. Okay, we're going to do one more before we take a break. We're kind of running out of time on this segment, but I really want to just at least start it. Okay, the apple cider vinegar diet. Have you heard of it?
I think I've heard something about this.
Okay, I'm going to tell y'all about it really quickly and we'll take a break. So Megan Fox is drinking apple cider vinegar shots. And so, you know, anything Megan Fox does, I guess we got to do it too. So I'm going to leave y'all with that and we'll take a quick little break. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back. And like I said earlier, it's your Halloween edition of Fit to Be Tied. And Charles is joining us. And we are closing out the show. And it has been scary. It's been very scary what the internet will show you for trends on fitness and diets. And it's just, you know... We left the other segment talking about how taking apple cider vinegar shots is like what Megan Fox is doing to stay trim and lean. So I want to talk about that a little bit because this is funny. And if you've ever had apple cider vinegar straight, you cannot drink it. It is horrible to drink.
It's disgusting.
It's
yeah.
disgusting. Even when you mix it like a little bit with water, it is so acidic. Now, I love like, you know, pickled stuff, but it has like sugar and some other things in it to kind of help with it. But apparently... Megan Fox is all about taking or drinking an apple cider vinegar shot. But, you know, do you think it's worth it? So basically, the thought is it's for weight loss. Basically, you ingest it and it's supposed to help with like an appetite suppressant is what it looks like. But I mean, that just kind of would make me nauseous.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make a lot of sense. No. I have heard that apple cider vinegar is supposed to speed up your metabolism
or digestion. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know how much validity to that there is, but it just sounds horrible. It sounds like it's going to mess up your stomach, especially if you have like acid reflux or something.
Oh,
like
that would be awful.
I just don't see a lot of benefit to this. I don't think there's going to be any direct benefit to having a shot of apple cider vinegar every day.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that vinegar does have its health benefits, because I know like in South Korea and I guess North Korea too, but kimchi and having the fermented or like sauerkraut, eating things that have that fermentation that is probiotic for your gut. And I think vinegar is healthy, but I don't think that drinking a straight shot of apple cider vinegar, I mean, that's going to burn your throat. It's going to make you feel sick and nauseated. You're not going to want to eat. So I wouldn't recommend it, but I mean, again, maybe it's something we should ask Sheena about when she's back.
And it sounds like the worst part of this is it's actually ignoring the biggest part of the diet, which is what you're actually eating.
Right.
So that's what's blowing my mind, right? Like, I'm not going to take a shot of apple cider vinegar, go eat a cheeseburger and lose weight. That's not going to happen.
No, that's not going to happen. And it's probably just going to make you sick.
Yeah, it's going to make you never want to eat again. So maybe there's that.
It's so strange. But yeah, guys, this is our Halloween edition. And you know, just... you know, be mindful of the scary information that's out there. And we've had fun doing this show with you guys today. But, you know, our advice is talk to people that know what they're talking about. They, you know, your certified personal trainers that have nationally accredited certifications, your registered dietitians, you know, come talk to us. Know your resources. If you see something on Instagram, on YouTube, I mean, it's cool to look at it and think about it, but like, do your research. Remember, there's no quick fix. I hate to say it, but there's no quick fix.
Yeah, and you know, there's something I tell not just our clients, but every trainer as well, is whenever you do anything, whether it's an exercise or follow us, eat something specific, ask yourself, what am I trying to accomplish and what is this actually doing?
Right.
You know, why would I do it this way and not that way? You know, what is this shot of apple cider vinegar going to do for me?
Yeah.
I think it's really important to understand the why behind the things we do and not just take it at face value.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think when Sheena gets back, we'll have to dive into some more of these nutrition things, because look, guys, I've got like a really long list of diets I've never even heard of. So I think we might have to have a part two of scariest things. But Charles, thanks for being on the show today. And as always, we enjoy your expertise.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. It's Halloween, so, you know, go get some candy, get some M&Ms, and we'll catch you next week on Fit to Be Tied.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.